From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll get your week going. Open lines this hour, next hour, the mystery of reincarnation with J. Allen Danilek. Get ready for that. Well, I really don't have to tell you this because you know this whenever you fill up your car, but gasoline prices have soared now to levels never seen before as even the inflation-adjusted price for a gallon of unleaded topped the 1981 record spike in price that stood for 26 years. And higher prices could be on the way as you get ready to hit the road for the Memorial Day holiday weekend and the start of the summer driving season, a story we continue to follow. The prices just keep going up. Now, this is an incredibly bizarre story, and I agree with the family that's very upset. Here it is. A family in Central Florida is outraged that they were kept in the dark about their new house's secret. A triple murder and suicide happened within the four walls they'd just begun to call home. John and Kathy Johnson and their 24-year-old daughter, Christina, were horrified to learn that their Lake County ranch home was the scene of a bloody crime, and worse, that the realtor and the seller kept quiet about the grisly homicide. On May 5th, when the Johnsons moved into the Greenbrier Street residence, a neighbor mentioned that a local police officer gunned down his estranged wife, fellow cop, and the fellow police officer's wife in a jealous rage in February of 2006. He then shot and killed himself. The crimes took place in what was then one of the officers' homes. The house cost the Johnsons $227,000, but a Florida state law, one that they want amended, allows real estate companies to withhold information about their property's unsavory pasts, including homicides, suicides, or deaths that occurred on the premises. The fact that the realtors are required to tell prospective homeowners about problems like leaky faucets, but not about violent crimes and deaths that happened in the houses they're showing, stuns the homeowners. During open lines, if any of you want to react to this story, go ahead. I really think that they need to disclose this. XM satellite, it still may be out. They were hit with a massive outage from their Sat-1. They were performing some kind of software update. There's no idea how long some of you may be without your satellite radio. According to the company, these disruptions are being registered across the United States. 409 people, maybe more by now, clicked on an ad that offers infection for those with virus-free PCs. The ad, run by a person who identifies himself as a security professional, reads like this. Drive-by download is your PC virus-free. Get it infected here. Drivebydownload.info. Well, 409 people decided to click it on, and now their computers are infected. He said it was just a test, and he said the experiment cost him $23. In Ohio, an unbelievable story. We will probably talk with Joyce Riley about this from the American Gulf War Veterans Association. A television station has discovered that an alarming number of U.S. troops are having severe reactions to some of the vaccines they receive in preparation for going overseas. Now, we've been reporting about this with Nurse Joyce Riley for years now. They say this is the worst cover-up in the history of the military, said an unidentified military health officer who fears for his job. A shot from a syringe is leaving some U.S. servicemen and women on the brink of death. When the issue, I believe, according to this health officer, of the use of the vaccine comes out, it will make Walter Reed, that scandal, pale in comparison. We will continue to follow up on this one. A Denver Zoo monkey has died of bubonic plague, apparently after eating a squirrel stricken with that disease. Five squirrels and a rabbit found dead on zoo grounds tested positive for the flea-borne disease in recent weeks. Senate leaders have agreed that they would wait now until June to take final action on a bipartisan plan to give millions of unlawful immigrants legal status. The measure, which also tightens border security and workplace enforcement measures, unites a group of influential liberals, centrists, and conservatives, and has White House backing. But it has drawn criticism from across the political spectrum. In a nod to that opposition, Senate leaders won't seek to complete it before a hoped-for Memorial Day deadline. China plans to launch a lunar orbiter in the second half of 2007 and a first step towards a lunar probe. If the orbiter succeeds in orbiting the moon, the next step would be an attempt to land. Ultimately, a moon rover would collect samples before returning back to Earth. Shades of Mary Poppins here. An 18-year-old schoolgirl was saved by her umbrella when she was blown off a six-story building in China. Her umbrella slowed her fall and allowed her to land relatively softly. She was soaked when she was caught in rain on her way home from school, so she decided to wash and dry her clothes in a laundry at the top of a six-story building, but was blown off a slippery walkway by a sudden gust of wind. The wind caught her raised umbrella and blew her over the edge of the building, but she managed to cling on to the umbrella as she fell. It slowed her descent, and she landed in the soft soil of a waterlogged vegetable garden. And that's a miracle. Pakistan's woman tourism minister has tendered her resignation after hardline Islamic clerics accused her of obscenity for hugging her instructor after a charity parachute jump. The federal minister for tourism was pictured wearing a brightly colored jumpsuit and hugging her instructor after a tandem jump to raise money for children victims of the earthquake that struck Pakistan in 2005. The images provoked the wrath of the clerics. They accused her of posing in an obscene manner and violating their moral norms. Friday night, for the first couple hours, Linda Moulton Howe will be with us, and one of the stories we'll be talking about will be this incredible story we've been following for weeks now here on Coast to Coast. When the fellow Chad sent us those pictures of this UFO or a drone or whatever it is, well, it's been cited again under the feature articles today. You'll see the pictures of this thing, whatever it may be, with a link to earthfiles.com. You know, if somebody's playing around with Photoshop, let me tell you, they are doing an incredible job with it. Okay, we've got open lines. Here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the open lines portion of the program on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jennifer in Alabama.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hey, I have a story to tell you.
Uh-oh, what happened?
A murder-suicide in my house that happened before I moved in that my landlord did not tell me about. I had a 13-year-old daughter at the time, and we moved in. And things started happening, foul smells, growls in the hall, TV channels started flipping, turning on and off. She called me up from work and said, Mom, all the air conditioners and the fans are on. And in the morning, in the summertime, the first thing I did was turn off all of those air conditioners and the fans because it was just too chilly in the morning. I mean, that was just something I did. And when she woke up, this was during the summer when she was out of school, they were on.
So beyond the non-disclosure, you got stuck with a haunted house too.
Yes, I did. And I happened to meet someone at work, and I had dinner with the family, and the family said, oh, you live in that house?
Oh, God, how did you feel?
Yeah. And I said, let me tell you what's been going on. And they said, well, let me tell you about the house. Well, I called the police department. And I said, find me the detective that worked that scene. And it was a divorced woman that had two children. It was on Thanksgiving. And her two children were playing in the band. And they sent the kids upstate to play in the Thanksgiving Day parade. And the ex-husband, who lives somewhere else, at 2 o'clock in the morning, parked his vehicle down the street, and he went into the back door of the house where his ex-wife was sleeping, which was my bedroom later.
Oh, my God.
And put a shotgun to her stomach and killed her and then killed himself. And no, nobody told me about it.
Are you still in that house, Jennifer?
My daughter and I went through hell.
Are you still there?
Pardon me?
Are you still in that house?
No, no. I had to research it. I went through the Catholic Church. I went through a parapsychologist who happened to live five blocks from us. And he was the only one in town. I found out what I needed to do because I couldn't get anybody to exorcise the house. So I started reading scriptures. And I did that night after night after night after night. And with my faith, we got rid of it. But I can tell you this, if I ever sit down and discuss it, and I probably am going to have repercussions from this, telling you about it, if I ever sit down and discuss it with anyone, it comes back.
It does come back.
It follows me.
Well, you take care of yourself on this. And I got to tell
and
you,
the Ouija board did it too, George.
The mental anguish about this has got to be unbelievable.
Pardon me?
The mental anguish has got to be unbelievable.
Unbelievable for my child, too. A 13-year-old going through this, calling me up at work, screaming out of her mind.
Well, at least you're out of there, Jennifer. At least you're out of there. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Stan here in Louisville.
Hey, Stan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it turns out today that there's a drug for diabetics, and guess what? Increases your heart risk by 44% of having a heart attack, and my brother takes that drug. You know, it just comes a time where you can't trust anybody anymore. I mean, you go to your doctor, he says, take this drug, and you find out a year later that, you know, it might kill you.
They're rushing these things to marketplace way too fast.
I mean, I just don't see it ending. You know, the people with the haves, like you're talking about, they just bombard us with information that, for the most part, is a lie. And then we take it, you know, as knowledge. I mean, look at the oil companies. They're trying to, the price of a barrel of oil is down, gas prices through the roof.
Well, I had a guest on just a few days ago, last week, who talked about how they are holding back on their refining on purpose in order to keep the gasoline in short supply so the prices will be high.
Minimum wage, I think, was attached to that bill that Bush vetoed, so we're not going to get the minimum wage increase for the small person. Like the government's, creating war against the middle class and the poor.
Well, exactly. You know, I said that last week, too, that the difference between the haves and the have-nots, that's getting wider and wider and wider, and that has got to stop. It's dangerous when you do that. Wild card line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hey. Hi, George. This is Aaron calling from New Orleans.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hey, a couple months back, there was a special on the History Channel about World War II and about how the scientific community, scientists, stepped up and they came up with, it's like a radio diode that basically was placed into these shells that were shot at the kamikaze pilots. And it reduced the number by like a third. It was much more accurate. So basically, they throw up this big blanket of fire and they have to put up less and a higher probability that, you know, that one of the shells would hit the kamikaze plane and, of course, you know, sink it before it could hit the
hit the carriers and destroyers. Yeah,
right. And my question is, why is the scientific community stepping up in this war? You know, I mean, if you have something like a roadside bomb that, you know, is the number one killer over there in Iraq, how come no one here from the scientific community stepped up? It's kind of like they want no part of it.
Well, you know what? I think they've been using some high-tech warfare in armaments. We just don't know about it. You know, some of the experts we've had on the program in the past talk about some of these things, and they're convinced they're being used. The problem is, in this particular war, is you're dealing with a low-tech war on the enemy's side, on the other side. I mean, they're the ones placing roadside bombs and, you know, wrapping people up in packages and things like that. That is pretty difficult to detect, even with all our high-tech equipment. You know, when you go back to the lowest common denominator to fight a fight, I mean, even high-tech stuff, it's difficult, and that's what's going on now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You sure are.
Hi, George. How are you?
Fine.
I just called. My name is Brenda, and I live in Tampa, and I have a haunted story, ghost story. I lived in my grandfather's house. He's long deceased. He built a house outside of Hillsborough County way back in the 40s.
Well, I bet one of those big old houses.
Yeah, it was like a cracker house. I don't know if you know what that is.
What's a cracker house?
Old farmhouse, like with the tin roof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was neat. It still is. And my boyfriend and I moved in there for 6-7 months. That's all it was supposed to be. And at first, I was under a lot of stress at the time, and my grandfather and I were always really, really close. And the TV started coming on. I go, okay, and I turn it back off, and it popped right back on.
Maybe your boyfriend was sitting on the clicker.
Nope.
Okay, so we ruled that out.
We ruled it out. I said, you know, I started getting feelings it was my grandfather. We'd hear footsteps, the same footsteps he'd make at night when I was there with him, when he tried to sneak out the back door and go hunting on my grandmother. And so I said, just off the cuff, I said, Grandpa, if that's you, make that TV go off a million times. I was just joking. So, like, the next morning, we're lying in bed, and my boyfriend's going, oh, my God, what's all that light? What's that light? And we looked down at the end of the bed. That's where the TV was, and it was just going on and off a million times.
So, Grandpa playing a little game.
I was so freaked out. I ran out the front door, and I sat down on the steps for, you know, like 2 hours. I wouldn't even go back in the house. And I called, and I just remembered. I told him, you know, turn it on and on and on. So it got to be that, you know, when we leave, I'd leave the TV on like Bonanza or something that, you know, Maverick.
Something he liked.
Yeah, something he liked. And if I didn't leave the TV on, we left. The minute we walked in, the TV would come right on.
Well, so it's kind of neat to have him around, wasn't it?
Oh, God. It was like, it was 30 years since he'd been dead, so almost to the same
When
day.
You left the house, did he stay there?
Excuse me?
Did he stay in the house when you left?
I hope he's still there. That my family sold it, and I was really upset about that. And the last night we were there, I talked to him, and I told him I was really sorry that I couldn't hang on to it. And, you know, because I know that was his heart when he was alive. It was a farm.
Well, it's also possible, though, Brenda, that when you left the house, he probably moved on into the light. And, you know, he's probably better off there. Let's move on to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, this is Josh from La Palma, California.
Hi, sir.
Yes, I'd like a first-time caller, actually, but anyway, I was actually a skeptic for a long time. I've been listening to the show for a while, but actually I'm a believer now, if you want to.
In everything or just some certain things?
Just some of the things I heard, and I've heard you talk about, you know, the power of dreams and parallel universes and stuff like that. And I've actually come up with a theory on my own that I've been wanting to share with the Coast to Coast community for a long time.
Well, all right, give it your best shot.
All right, basically, I tend to have a lot of dreams when I sleep, so when it comes down to it, and then sometimes those dreams feel very weird, real and familiar, and sometimes I think that when I dream that I'm actually peering into alternate dimensions or parallel universes or something like that, because it feels far too real to be just a dream, or maybe I'm just trying to rationalize it.
Well, how about with multiple yous, too?
That's another thing, because sometimes in these alternate universes, if you will, I'll be with people I've known from before but haven't seen in years, but I feel that it's recent times, and sometimes instead of seeing this from a first-person view, I'll see myself in this alternate universe doing things.
See, Josh, I was a very, I was a believer. I've always been a believer in a lot of this stuff. And now, though, I believe it more, but my views are changing on what they are and what causes certain things. And I'm going through an incredible metamorphosis right now with myself. I mean, I too believe in multiple universes now. I didn't understand or believe that years ago. And there's more too with ghosts and spirits. One of the reasons why I'm looking forward to talking with J. Allen Danilek when he comes on at the top of the hour to talk about the mystery of reincarnation is because of that too, because that's changing within me. I mean, I've always believed in reincarnation, but it's even stronger now. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour on Coast to Coast AM. You know, I was out to lunch today and I saw a little kid. She must have been 2 years old. She was talking to her mother, and I swear she had a PhD in something, in English. I mean, it was absolutely incredible watching this little person. I thought somebody programmed her. I have never seen a kid talk like that and think like that in all my life. 2 years old. To the phones we go. International line, it's your turn. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George. My name is Jean. I'm calling from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Jean.
You were just talking of alternate universes.
Yes.
Well, some 30-odd years ago, I seem to have blinked out of existence for a split second.
You blinked out of existence?
That's the only words I can think
of. Do we have witnesses? How do you know this?
I was standing in my dining room with my ex-husband and a girlfriend, and I had a large deep freeze right beside me with a $20 bill on it.
All right.
All of a sudden, everything went into total blackness that I've never experienced before or since. Then I was back. I felt a little disoriented, and I looked at those two people and said, what happened? And they said, you weren't there.
Now, wait a minute. First of all, are you sure you didn't have like a blackout or some kind of mini stroke or something like that?
Well, that wouldn't have affected them, now would it?
Well, was the 20 still on the refrigerator?
No, and it never came back.
They took it.
Wherever I went,
they took your money.
That 20 went with me and never came.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'll tell you what's really scary is for years, I wondered where else could I have gone if I didn't come back into my dining room.
Well, that's a good question, Gene, but I'm convinced. This is my guess. I'm a believer in a lot of this. I think your ex-husband and the girlfriend took the 20. I really do. And so when you said, where was I? That was their opportunity to say, well, I don't know, you blinked away. That's my guess. I could be wrong. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, hello. I've got kind of an interesting, unusual type of a ghost story for you.
Okay.
My name is Mark. I'm from central Wisconsin. This took place in a older farmhouse. We're not sure exactly how old it was. I'll try and be as fast as I can here. It was built somewhere around 1900, between 1895 and 1900, as near as what we were able to determine. Now, I happen to be somewhat of a older firearms aficionado, and I have a moderate collection of older firearms. Military firearms interest me a lot, particularly World War I, World War II, mostly bolt-action rifles. I've just enjoyed the way that they're put together.
So you've got quite a collection.
A half a dozen or so, but since I had the strongest gun safe, I also had a couple of my dad's guns, and a brother or two of mine gave me some for safekeeping also. We're not sure when this particular entity showed up, but I had noticed over a period of time, and Dad and my brother thought I was pulling their leg, that a couple guns would disappear. Every now and again, you'd go to the case, and one would be gone, and it was always a military gun.
Hmm.
When they returned after approximately two to three weeks on average, they would be as clean as if the military armorer had gone over them. Now, what made Dad a believer in this was we had been to a show in Eau Claire, and I purchased two rifles there at the same time, an M1 Garand, still in the Cosmoline, that's that sticky brown military glue that they paint all over them. Right? Rifle had never been fired. Well, I've been fired once, and it got jammed up because of the Cosmoline, so I got a deal on it. I also bought a M1 carbine that needed some minor work and was extremely dirty. I mean, the thing was just absolutely filthy. We brought them home, put them in the case, and left the house immediately. I had a key, and my brother, who we went to see, had the other key. And we finished our job. All three of us were on the same job site. And we went back home. And Dad wanted to show my brother the new rifle that we had just bought. I went to the case to get it. It was gone. So Dad knows where both keys were. He knows nobody else could have got into the house. 2 weeks later, while I was gone, I was in Pennsylvania. I'm a truck driver. Dad called me on the cell phone. And he says, your M1 is back.
And it was still locked up, I bet.
It was back in the gun case, right where it belonged. And the gun is clean. I mean, even the cartouches in the stock are pristine. You cannot tell there was cosmoline on it.
The old soldiers are taking their weapons back.
Well, possibly. I don't know. Now, the story gets a little more interesting. I had another gun that I bought. It's a pistol. It was a Belgian pistol with Nazi marks on it.
Uh-huh.
And it was bloodstained. It still is bloodstained. Human blood on gun steel etches really fast, but it stained the walnut stocks, and there was nothing that I found I could do to take care of it. Well, that gun disappeared also. It came back, and the marks are still in the steel, but if you look at the walnut panels, you can never tell that there was a thing that happened to it.
What's your gut tell you about this? Who's cleaning these things?
I have no clue. Now, I had a Mauser rifle. I had been... We did some target shooting, had a bunch of them, and I was cleaning them, putting them away, and I had left a couple of case rifles leaned up against the piano, and I came to put them away, and the Mauser was gone in its case, and I told Dad it was gone, and he, by this time, kind of believed it. My mother thought that the whole thing was a joke, and she happened to be doing some vacuuming or whatever around the house about probably 10 days later, and Dad and I were out back in the pasture mending fence, and all of a sudden she came outside looking pretty nervous, came out to find us, so I know who was pulling her leg. I said, what? She said, well, just as she turned the vacuum cleaner off in the house, she heard a clunk against the piano. She turned around. She said, there's a case gun standing there. She knows we know that she hates guns. I told Dad, I said, I'll bet you it's the Mauser, and I was able to describe the gun in this case right to a T. Now, the Mauser had some rust on the end of the barrel that I had not been able to get off. The bluing is perfect. You can't tell anything ever happened to it. And the sights had been off. The gun shot low into one side. Now it's absolutely tacked.
I was going to say, not anymore. And as you get ready toward the end of the week for your Memorial holiday weekend, be safe, everyone. Drive carefully when you're out there. Look out for the other person. You know, it's always when you turn your head away and you're the safe driver, somebody's going to cross over the median and something like that. So be careful. Come back alive. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Greetings, George. My name is Elaine.
Hi.
I'm in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a certified expert in Adobe Photoshop. And I can tell you what I know from an XP's point of view. About the alien drone photos?
Okay, yeah, we'll take your take on it.
No problem. First of all, if I wanted to fake that, I would do something that is beyond my own personal expertise, and that would be to go into a 3D modeling program and do it in 3D and then import into photos of the backdrop.
What would that do if you did it that way?
Well, you notice that you have different angles on the drone.
Sure.
Rebuilding it every single time in Photoshop from scratch is so much of a pain that even I, who is pretty obsessed with the program, wouldn't even find it worth it. If you had a 3D model that you could then drop into a photo, then you can twist the model any way you want to, whatever angle, and then try to make it match the angle of photo itself. And then, but the problem with that is that then, if you're professional in special effects in Hollywood, you could probably do it, but there's so many hours of work in that. And it's not even worth the effort.
All right.
And but I will give you some really interesting angles for how to get that photo properly, all the photos properly analyzed. The key, in my opinion, by the way, the other thing I need to tell you is that the shadows and the light are consistent with the background too much to either an expert with way too much time in their hands did that, or it's real because...
Or it's real. Okay.
The lighting matches the background to us.
Somebody sent me an email just a few minutes ago and said that he thinks this machine is real, but it's going to be used as some kind of promotion for a new movie. Now, what do you think of that one?
I've got a great way to tell you how to analyze that.
All right.
Okay, you've got that one photo where you got that long tail. I just lack of a better word.
Yeah, okay.
appendage, long appendage with the writing and stuff on it.
Yep.
What drove me nuts was that I would have loved to have a picture of that appendage on at its original camera resolution rather than the way it was, you know, was brought down for the flood page.
Yeah.
Because the details on the writing and obviously some kind of logo there. Oh, I would assemble somebody who, a Photoshop expert, someone who is great at deciphering like hieroglyphics, like a linguist.
Or Klingon.
And a cryptographer.
Did you see the cell phone photo of this thing?
I haven't gotten to the website yet.
All right, you've got to look at it. That's one of the first pictures we ever had.
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, I mean, that one looks pretty darn authentic to me, too. So just tell me, what does your gut tell you about this?
Well, my gut tells me, because I'm half skeptic, half believer, just by nature.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
I think that there is a higher technology going on, probably, either higher technology, i.e. someone a lot more smarter than me in good imaging, or, hey, you know, let's give the aliens a chance or whatever. But I really think the key is to get a real close-up on those hieroglyphics and that logo to a really fine detail.
Well done. Well, see, I know Lex is working on it, and this is a story that isn't over, not by a long shot. These photographs now have gone all around the planet. They're everywhere, everywhere. And, you know, we'll keep checking in. And Linda, like I said, Linda Moulton Howe will be on for her once-a-month Friday program with us. And before open lines, and we will talk with her a little bit more about this. It could be a drone. It could be for some movie promotion. Whatever it is, I think it's a real craft. I just don't know what the heck it is. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. This is Scott from El Dorado Hills, which is just east of Sacramento.
Okay. Hi, Scott.
And I'll be seeing you, hopefully, down for the Roswell thing. I'm going down for that.
Beautiful. I'll be there. We'll be doing the show live, so come on by.
Okay, that'll be exciting. And I think you got this is the best show on radio, no doubt.
Well, thanks.
And I wanted to say I haven't heard back. I think it must have been, seems like almost a year anyway, since they sent that audio drum from, when the mic was left open on the motorcycle, or the policeman had his motorcycle mic open.
During the Kennedy assassination?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were going to analyze it, I think, at Livermore using lasers or some kind of digital translation. And I just wondered, how come we haven't heard anything? They were supposed to be able to tell if there was more than three shots.
I think they don't know. They came out with something preliminary on that a long time ago, and they're just still baffled. I think what we're working on now is the new report that came out late last week, which shows that there may be separate bullet fragments. And if that's the case, they're now beginning to talk about the possibility of more than one gunman.
Yeah,
and that,
I'm convinced it definitely was, but, you know, I mean, I guess there's really no definite proof yet. A little bit of anecdotal evidence here for the bees.
Yeah.
I'm up here in the foothills, and there's no commercialized bees, but I got a bumper crop of everything, apples. I've seen the bees out there, plums, almonds, and apricots, everything, just bumper crop. I've never seen it this good. And I know the bees are out there.
They're working overtime. The few that are out there are working their little bee hinds off.
Well, they got everything to themselves.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You're welcome. Where are you calling from?
Right now I'm in Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
What do you mean right now? Are you a truck driver?
This is Siri. I'm the truck driver.
Oh, yeah. You've been in before. Sure. What's up?
Well, my house is haunted.
You just found that out?
Huh?
You just found that out?
No, I've known it for a little while, and even though I'm always on the road, you know, but my daughter and granddaughter live in the house.
Who died in there? Somebody must have.
Somebody must have what?
Died in the house.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, they have to be. Or how could it be haunted? Well, you need to check into it.
I'm thinking that there's a portal.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah. Well, okay, one time when I was home, the light went on by itself in the laundry room.
Bad wiring.
No, it's not.
Maybe.
Bad wiring.
You sure?
It did that. I'm positive. Okay. My daughter witnessed it also. And you just go in and the switch itself would turn on. Okay.
I want a little more than that one, Siri.
Okay. Upstairs, where is a whole separate living area.
Okay.
It's an old house that, according to the document, was originally built in 1933, I think it was.
Okay.
And then it was remodeled a couple times since then. And then when I bought the home in 2001, it had been gutted and redone and resided and redone inside, and it's really nice. Upstairs is a separate living area, and I'm trying to help my daughter out and get her back on her feet. And I come home one time, and one of the windows upstairs was broken.
Got to give me more than that.
On the outside, and I asked her what happened, and I thought maybe she threw a fit. She says, I don't know. I was had it open, and I was trying to close it, and it had a brand-new window.
So the glass was broken. The glass was broken on the outside, as if someone broke it from the inside.
She tried to close the window. Here's what she told me. She tried to close the window, and it wouldn't close. There was nothing blocking it. It wouldn't close. She kept pushing and pushing to side slide it closed, and then all of a sudden it slammed shut right out of her fingers, and the outside popped.
Well, you got to give me more than that. Not that I'm a skeptic, but so you had a window pane that shut on its own. That's happened before. As a matter of fact, have you ever had your fingers popped by one of those things? I did a long time ago. Oh, sorry, I need a little bit more on that one. So keep checking the house. A couple more callers, and we're done for this hour before we bring in Mr. J. Allen Danilek in Mystery of Reincarnation. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Hello? Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great. I'd just like to talk a little bit about the XM satellite radio that went down recently.
Yeah, it's down in portions. Is any of it back up yet?
Not that I'm aware of as of yet, but I think this is just a good example of the problems that we're going to continue to see like this in the future.
With everything?
Well, yeah, because as we sort of go on to more and more advanced technologies, we see more problems like this that are sort of beyond the control or the ability of even a large group of people to repair it. I mean,
absolutely.
When you have broadcast towers, you know, going down, you know, that's sometimes, you know, a couple $1,000s to go and repair something like this. But when you have a multi-million-dollar satellite, you just end up with another piece of astro junk that's just ready to be hit by a rocket or another future shuttle in the decades to come. So, you know, I can't really say that I'm against the advancement of technology, especially, you know, satellite and space technology, but I think we really need to reflect on the kind of consumer electronic angles that we go in.
Well, and we need a backup system. That's the important thing. That's what we've talked to all our guests about. There's nothing wrong with high technology, but have backup systems in place where in case something happens to satellites, or if some nation decides to take our satellites out, we have a backup system that we can quickly go to, because without that, we really are going to be up the creek on something like that. And this is, you're absolutely right. This is an example of what happens when a satellite goes. Remember the cell phone problem of years ago when a satellite went and all the pagers went out? I mean, the same thing. Same thing. Well, if you need to email me, that's George at coasttocoastam.com. We've got a great listing of shows for you. Plus, Wednesday, we're going to have a little special thing for you, but I might as well let the cat out of the bag. Ow. It's a special trilogy on ghosts. I haven't done this in a long time. A trilogy on ghosts on Wednesday. So make sure you circle your calendar on that one. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.